Good morning, everybody. And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Thank you. It's a happy day. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. And in about a month, we'll be celebrating the fathers, so it'll be Happy Father's Day. Yes, so praise God. So this week is our second week of looking through spiritual eyes. And today I want to go, I just want to start in 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're going to begin at verse 1.
Could you repeat that,
please? 1 Samuel chapter 16. Mm-hmm. And we're going to start at verse 1. But I want to read another verse before we start there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for such a beautiful day. Another day that's filled with your grace and mercy, your love, your revelation, everything we need, Lord, you are the great I am. So, Lord, we anticipate what you've got for us this morning, your word, the whole day, Lord, we just thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 16. But I am going to read one of the verses here before we start there. I'm going to read verse 7. While you can still be looking, I'm going to read verse 7. And verse 7 says, But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So let's start at verse 1 here. I'm going to read some of this. And then I'm going to give a couple of verses. Does it? Anybody want to read this morning some a verse or two? I'm going to give some verses out.
What translation do you read from?
This translation is the Amplified Version that I'm getting ready to read from now. But then, if someone would like to read Psalms 119 and 18. Who will take that one? Okay, Miss Pat. Mm-hmm. And then Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. Would somebody take that one? Okay. There's two that I really want to. Yep. Okay. Got that one and that one. And then if somebody would take Romans 12 and 2. Romans 12 and 2. Anybody want to do that one? Okay. All right. So let's start with Samuel chapter 16, 1 Samuel 16, and I'm going to read down through here a little bit. The Lord said to Samuel, How long will you grieve for Saul when I have rejected him as king over Israel? There's again, not looking with spiritual eyes right then. That's how we do sometimes. Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have chosen a king for myself among his sons. But Samuel said, How can I go? When Saul hears about it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take a heifer from the herd with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. You shall invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do after that. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I designate. So Samuel did what the Lord said and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the city came trembling to meet him and said, "Do you come in peace?" And he said, "In peace, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." He also consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So when it happened, when they had come, he looked at Eliab, the eldest son, and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before me." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab, and he had him pass before Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Next, Jesse had Shammah pass by, and Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen him either." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all of your sons here?" Jesse replied, "There is still one left, the youngest. He is tending the sheep." Samuel said to Jesse, "Send word and bring him, because we will not sit down to eat the sacrificial meal until he comes." So Jesse sent word and brought him in. And now he had a ruddy complexion with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. The Lord said to Samuel, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Did y'all see all of these looking through our physical eyes and not looking through spiritual eyes in those few verses? It was a lot of them. Did any of them stick out to you? Well, for one thing, they kept passing them all by. And even the elders of the city came trembling. They were scared. So many things in there. But we won't go into all of that. I think we all heard a lot of those, saw all of those times when everybody was looking through. Even Samuel was looking through physical eyes. Yes. 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 It could be coming into Bible study on Wednesday night. Somebody may have been home all day and had time to get fixed up nice. It could be somebody works in a office and they dress nice and they could come straight on and looking nice. Could be somebody been working in the field all day and didn't have a chance, but they were like, "I'm going to Bible study." Could come in muddy. So many things. So there is not just looking on people, but there's looking on conditions or circumstances or just so many different things that we can look at it through our physical eyes. But
most
so
of the time the Lord does use physical perceptions, for lack of a better word, mm-hmm. to describe spiritual things if you pursue Him. Mm-hmm. Child,
Mm-hmm.
But if you start looking at it from a spiritual point, then you get a different perspective.
Uh-huh.
Is that the correct word?
Yes, that's a good word. Let's see. These verses, I'm going to call, if the people who have these verses would read them, these verses connect spiritual understanding with God giving us new vision. That was Psalm 119 and 18. Ms. Pat?
Open my eyes that I may see some wonderful things in your law.
Mm-hmm. As a believer, I'm going to read that one more time. Open thou my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. To a believer, that sounds good after you've been growing a while. That sounds good because, you know, we love God's word. We love his way. We learn to love his way. But if we're not a believer, you know, a lot of times we don't want to have not responsibility, but we don't want to be accountable to stuff, and we don't understand it. But God has a way for us. He has kingdom, a kingdom life for us. Kingdom living is what we are aiming toward while we are here. Even while we're here, kingdom living begins upon our salvation. As soon as when we get saved, we're out with the old, in with the new. Praise the Lord. And would everyone repeat this for me? Not for me, but for yourself. And I'm going to repeat it, say it too. I have kingdom life. We're not of this world. We are not. Y'all are saying it, boy. Yeah, it is. It is really good. It is really good. Such a beautiful world God's got for us. And we have a job to do. We've been discipled. We've got to disciple others. So while we're here, that's what we're to do. Now, who has Ephesians 1 and 17 and 18?
I got it.
Okay. What version are you reading out of?
Pardon?
What version are you reading out of?
NASB.
Okay. That is so good. And 18.
Mm-hmm. Pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
Did everybody hear that? Man, that is so surrendering to me. It just makes me want to say, I give, yes, Lord. I want your way. That's one of the ways, that's what I was feeling when I got saved, when I accepted Christ as my Savior. I was like, I'm tired of trying to live this life by myself and do my own thing. I want to know, God, I want you to lead me and guide me. I want your way. Hallelujah. That is chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. So now, this God is telling us that he wants us that we need to pray about this. And he tells us, y'all know the verse, he tells us to pray about everything. Everything. So he's telling us here that he wants us to have spiritual eyes, to see what he sees. That's so important for us to know. So also, this lesson, I'm going to read a few things that about this lesson. God looks at the heart. So we should look at the heart. Spiritual sight comes from God. So we've got to know him to have spiritual sight. We've got to have that relationship with him to be able to have spiritual eyes, spiritual vision. Renewed thinking changes perception. It changes what we see. It changes how we understand. He tells us to have a renewed mind. He tells us to be not conformed to this world. And we've got that scripture down here too. And faith sees beyond appearances. Woo, hallelujah. We all need that, don't we? I know I do. When y'all look at me, I want y'all to see beyond what I am right now. When I look at myself, I want to see beyond what I am right now. And sometimes that's hard to do, but we've got to do it. We've got to know who we are in Christ. We've got to see with spiritual eyes. Hallelujah. Christ gives believers a new way to view people and life. So we can't, y'all are beautiful. But you're even more than that. Because God has put so many gifts and talents in you, so many things he wants you to do with the person that you are. He made you just the way he wanted to do just what he wanted you to do, to be a blessing in so many ways, so many capacities. We want to see ourselves the way God sees us. Seeing other, we would need to see people with compassion. Spiritual blindness and spiritual sight. Do you remember when you were spiritually blind? Ooh, that wasn't good. I'm thankful to be beyond that. Now, one of these scriptures up here we just talked about was saying, let me give somebody this scripture. 1 Corinthians 2 and 16. This is very important. Paul teaches that through the Holy Spirit, believers can grow into Christ-like understanding and discernment. That's not the scripture that's getting ready to be read, but it's 1 Corinthians 2 and 16. Okay. Amen. We have the mind of Christ. He instructs us. There's another one here. Let's see. It's sort of like that one. It's Psalms 32 and 8. I'm going to read it here. It's dear to my heart too. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you who are willing to learn with my eye upon you. Psalm 32 and 1, I will instruct you. It's wonderful to listen to God. Get up every morning and ask him, what do you want me to do today? How do you want me to carry out this day? And to be ready for what comes. And knowing that he's going to let us know what to do. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you. Sometimes I don't understand everything. We always pray before we get started at work every day. And now sometimes we get bombarded before we can pray. So we had been praying about stuff and everything. And it was so funny. And we wasn't quite finished praying yet, and somebody walked in the door without a shirt on. And I just kind of started giggling because I was like, Lord, you are so funny. You got jokes today. We just prayed about that. But he'll instruct us and tell us what to do about everything. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And that just reminds me that he's with me all the time. All the time he's with us. If there's something that that is you just had no idea was going to happen, he's with you. It's okay. He'll tell us what to do, what to say, if we need to say anything or not. If we just need to smile, he'll tell us. But we can have the mind of Christ by spending time with him. We will have the mind of Christ. Okay. Isaiah 55 and 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord." Sometimes we think that we, you know, we kind of got it okay or whatever, and something, and maybe we don't. We're not thinking like that sometimes, but it's such a wonderful, wonderful thing when the Lord gives us revelation. When we surrender our limited perspective, when we've got to look at, he says that he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning, and he also has the end. So he's got the plan. He's got everything that he wants in mind. And so looking through spiritual eyes is asking, God, what do you say about this? How do you see this? What do you want to do about this? Do you want me to do anything? What do you want to use me in any kind of way? And you know, and those wonderful gifts and talents that you have, sometimes, you know, he inspires you to do things a lot of times. But we've got to have that relationship to be able to do that, to do what he wants us to do, and do it correctly. Yesterday, my sister said something that she said, that later she said, I should have said that a different way. I should have brought that a different way. But she said, isn't it so wonderful when the Lord corrects you? That is so wonderful. When she said that, it was like, to what I felt about that, what I got out of it was, I love that God would not let me go on doing it something wrong, doing it the wrong way. He chastens those he loves. But he would show me the right way. Have you ever been doing anything, something that was, you were struggling with it and all that, and then a light bulb come on and it's like, oh, I just need to do it like this. Or, wow. We could get all beat up because we're doing something the wrong way. Could be even meaning it for good. But it's so important to find out what God says about things. So we, I'm sorry. Okay. God calls believers to value eternal realities over temporary appearances. Eternal realities, and I'm going to replace that right now with eternal truths, the eternal truth or eternal realities over these temporary appearances. I don't know how old I'm going to live in this body. I'm going to live forever, but I don't know how long I'm going to be in this body. So he's got more and more to teach me. More and more, there's so much more that I can learn. And I look forward to learning the things that he has for me. I want to learn all that he wants me to learn. I want to see all what he sees. There's things right now that I value about y'all. I love you. And there's things that I value. There's gifts and talents that I see in y'all. beautiful personalities and things, but I wanna know you more. I wanna see more about who God made you and enjoy time here with my sisters and brothers. And as if there's anything that I can do, the Lord wants me to do or say or smile, whatever it is, I want to do that to be an encouragement to you. Well, that is coming from 2 Corinthians 4 and 18. And this says, that says, that wasn't the scripture, but this is the scripture that goes along with that. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Let's look that up in its entirety. 2 Corinthians 4 and 18. And I'll read that. Second Corinthians 4 and 18. This is the Amplified Version. So we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are visible are temporal, just brief and fleeting, but the things which are invisible are everlasting and imperishable. Ooh! we just moved, and we had a whole lot of stuff. Good gracious. I've been holding on to things that were my kids had when they were growing up, and then whenever they left, they didn't take with them. And I thought, well, they might want to come back and get this. They might. I love that, you know. And but every time I ask them, no, it's okay. They're like we were. You know, they wanted to. They fix their things up the way they want it or whatever. It doesn't really mean, you know. It's like, oh, mama, throw that away, you know. But I'm thinking, you might, one of these days, they might come back after this. Oh, I'm going to give it to the grandbabies, you know. But they have newfangled things now. And so I was looking at, there's a big plastic dollhouse. Then there's a big wooden dollhouse. And I remember I saved to buy that wooden dollhouse. And I was looking at it yesterday, and I thought, I'm throwing that thing away. I'm getting rid of it. I'm selling that thing. But they've got them at home. And they got two at my house. Yep. And so, but the thing is, we value the love between us. We value the relationships and how they were raised. And, you know, that's the most important thing is raising them right. Raising them to love God, to know who God is. That they know that God is their Heavenly Father. And then I have to listen to them sometime, too, because they were telling me. And then one of my cousins, that my second cousin, she grew up with my girls playing together, and they like, no, you need to get rid of that. So all three of them were telling me to get rid of things, and I have actually learned from them because they're like, well, I'll just give you an example. I like to hold on to socks till I find the other one. Forever before you find that sock. And when you throw it away, you'll find it. Mm-hmm. Yep. But I had to stop being concerned about things like that because actually, it can be a burden on you, you know.
Just ask the Lord where it's at.
Uh-huh, yep, that's true. He will. Yes, good. Thank y'all. Y'all are so smart. Thank y'all. I'll do that too. Yes. Thank you. But our relationships, the good, the Lord tells us in Philippians to think on the good things. If it's a virtue, an honor. There are some things that you do, you know, want to hold on and everything, but you don't have to hold on to everything. Because this, some things are just, as the word said, are fleeting, brief. Let's work on that good stuff, building these relationships and enjoying each other while we're here. Let's work on those things. So again, that was 2 Corinthians 4 and 18. So we look not on the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For things which are visible are temporary, just brief and fleeting. But the things which are invisible are everlasting and imperishable. Those imperishable things. So then that, God is calling us to value the eternal things over the temporary appearances, those appearances that are with our physical eyes. I still have those memories, those fond times and all that, you know. Sometimes people's homes burn up and they lose everything. But those memories, those fond memories, that learning of God together and growing together, that was what it was important. I know that's hard. Things are hard sometimes. But the eternal is what's great. And God has got that eternal home for us in which we, that's what we're looking forward to. And we get to enjoy other things while we're here, too. And that's okay. And then this one, we actually said it a little bit while ago. Is we walk by faith and not by sight. So every time we look at something that, if it start to make us doubt, that's not from God. Because first of all, we are trusting in what his word says. Fear and doubt doesn't come from God. But the truth, God's word, his eternal word, is forever settled. He already told us that we can have faith because he said it's forever settled. It's a done deal. So we just keep on trusting and believing him and taking full confidence in him about everything. And while we're doing that, we are looking through our spiritual eyes. There's a lot about our spiritual vision throughout God's word. This is seeing, it helps us to be able to see God and trust him beyond the visible circumstances. When we see something, what do we think about it? We're always thinking. Our mind is always working. Or when we, you know, some words can be said, mean words or just untruths can be said. But what do we think about that? What do? We have to take action to that and replace it with God's truth. With what God's truth is, we have to look through our spiritual eyes and believe God's word about it, about everything. And sometimes, I mean, you know, sometimes it's hard to do that, but we can do it because the Lord tells us to do that. He says that we have his mind, but we have the mind of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 2 and 16. That's how we grow in Christ-like understanding and discernment, is by holding on to what he says. Replace doubt and fear and harsh things with what God's word is. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yes. Amen. You know, we're God's children, and we can do that easily with our children. We love our children. We know our children. And, you know, we know what they like and what they dislike, and we know what they need and what they don't need. And so, you know, they may be bucking something that they don't want to do. And we know they may be acting up because they don't want to do something. And we know why they're acting up. It's because they don't want to do what that is. And we do the same thing sometimes. And it may be in a different way, but we can still treat that child and help them to come along and do what they need to do. And that's just what she said. Why can't we do that for each other or do that for others? They may be going through something and that they're trying to, you know, it might be hard on them, but we've got to do that for each other. And also God's, when we see something like that, we need to tell God about it and pray for them and help them. We don't always know exactly what they're going through or what's happening, or somebody might have done something to them today and they haven't recovered from it yet. But if they're a Christian, then they have the mind of Christ too, and they got to work through that and get to what God says. We have to recover from things sometimes to get back to where we're supposed to be. Sometimes we might get a little grouchy. We don't have to do that, but sometimes we do. Praise God. Thank you. Matthew 5 and 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." So this lets us know that purity of heart is connected to spiritual perception and closeness with God. And we might go deeper into that next week. James 1 and 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God." And this is being able to see situation through God's eyes requires divine wisdom. We've got to have divine wisdom. So we got to ask God for that wisdom. There's so many things that sometimes we forget to ask God about it. Mm-hmm. All of these things we can have if we ask God about it. And God freely gives. Now, this one right here, I'm not sure, but it's 2 Corinthians 5 and 16. "Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh." Let's do that one real fast before we leave it. 2 Corinthians 5 and 15. I'm sorry, 5 and 16. And this is seeing people spiritually rather than merely through human judgment. It says, so from now on we regard no one from a human point of view, which is according to worldly standards and values. Though we have known Christ from a human point of view, now we no longer know him in this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior, he is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition have passed away. Beyond, new things have come because spiritual awakening begins with new life. Amen. Amen. So we have a spiritual awakening at that new life when we are not the old man anymore, but the new man. And we can see each other like that. Praise God. All right, anybody have any comments before we close up? Okay. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, again, for your word and for understanding and wisdom and knowledge. And thank you for the word that's getting ready to come forth, Lord. And we just praise you, Lord. We give you all glory. Continue to bless us and let us walk with you, Lord. And have spiritual eyes to see what you see, and let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.